Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day. Second Sunday in Advent, and Lynn and Lynn and Margaret are going to come and do the Advent candle for us. Thank you.
Good morning. Our theme for the second Sunday of Advent is making space in our hearts. As we travel closer to Christmas Day through Advent, we are excited to celebrate the life of Jesus, whose birth brought about change in our world. Today we step closer to Bethlehem. We remember that travelling can be tiring and be full of unexpected challenges. If we are feeling overburdened or consumed by worry, may you take the time to make room for the life-giving things and let go of the memories that limit and reduce our capacity. The first candle invited us to hope in the truths of God. We light the second candle to remind us that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes to fill our hearts with new life. I invite you to pray with me the words on the screen. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Fill us with your love and peace so we can let go of those things that we carry with us that cause us pain. Enable this Christmas to be a time where we can of hope and peace that fills our hearts, that fills our lives, as we trust in you, in Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Lynn and Margaret. And again, welcome to our service this morning, particularly those of you who are watching online, either right now or later on. Psalm 96, first couple of verses says this: Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. I'd invite you to stand as we sing a great song of praise. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Rescues us from all our mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. Praise Him, praise Him, hallelujah, praise the high eternal One. Angels, help us to
Jesus, we do indeed praise you. Thank you for the journey of Advent as we look to you and are reminded of ancient things, things that were in place before even time began, but coming to fruition and fulfillment and purpose and intention so long ago and still being worked out even today. So for that, Lord, we give you all praise and honour and thanks and commit our day to you, our time together here this morning with anticipation. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Amen. Before you take your seats, please exchange some greeting of elbow or wave or nudge. Now, if you weren't in here before the service started, we went through this song a little bit first. This is our offering song for this morning. We haven't sung it, as best I know, at the Vines, but this morning we will, and there is a small congregation of people sitting around who heard it earlier and now know it really well and are going to sing with great gusto. It's simple, so said he. So join in when you get the idea of how it goes. Thank you.
I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. Follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To find the lost and lonely one, to heal the broken soul with love, to feed the hungry children with warmth and good food, to feel the earth below sky above. I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to and be. To free the prisoner from all chains, powerful care, to rebuild the nations with strength of goodwill, to see God's children everywhere. I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to and be. To bring hope to every task you do, to dance out of babies you birth, to make music in an old person's heart, and sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to and be. I am the light of the world. You people, come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.
Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, that you've given to us in abundance. You've given us life and hope and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And in giving to us, Lord, we acknowledge the gift of you in our lives, the gift of your Spirit, the gift of Jesus, and all the hope that we have because of Jesus. So, Lord, we bring to you these offerings this morning that Leon is holding and the offerings that have been made online, and pray, Lord, that you would use them as we seek to serve you in this community and reach out in love with care and look beyond the walls of this building. May your kingdom be built, Lord, and your name honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Leon.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're well. It's our time for kids talk today. And just before the kids have come up, Mark Dickens is here with us today as well. So we're looking forward to catching up with Mark briefly during the service. But if kids want to come down the front just for a quick catch up today. We've got communion today. You can come a bit closer. Mark has showered recently, so you'll be all right. Hey, look, what can you remember what candle we lit today? Last week, we lit the candle of hope. Today, were you listening? Can you remember what was the name of the candle we lit today? It sounded a little bit like meese. Peace. Peace. What is peace? Man, peace, man. Let's see. Peace. Everybody know what peace is? How would you define peace? What's peace mean? Here, do you want a piece of cake? No, that's not what I mean, is it? Okay, so what I'm trying, what's the opposite to peace? So the opposite of being happy is what? Sad. Okay. The opposite of being full is hungry. Yeah, I'll accept that. I'll accept that. So peace. Peace. What's the opposite of peace? Peace is like, but peace is everything calm and normal. The opposite of peace is everything is what?
Violence
and angry and yeah. So today we're talking about peace. So we're going to have a long session. We've just taken me 5 minutes to get to this point. What can we do? So I think I'm going to jump a few sections. What can we do to help bring peace? So if everything's the opposite of peace is angry and grumpy, and what can we do to make things just like, yeah, wow. Can you think of something? A couple of weeks ago, Tiana said, yeah, we packed the dishwasher. And that brought peace. You know, you pack your dishes away in the dishwasher, your mum doesn't get angry. Put your dishes away. I'm sure your mum wouldn't. She, darling, please put the dishes away. All right, so what is one thing you can do to make everything a bit more peaceful at home? You could put your plates away. What's one idea you got, Jane? Come on, get that big brain of yours working. What is one thing you can do that would help make things calm and peaceful and loving and caring and
do
hugging?
Do nothing.
What?
Do nothing.
Do nothing. Like, okay. What do you, Gabby, have you got any thought? What could you do, what could you do that would make mum happy, or dad happy, or the cat happy, or the dog happy?
Cleaning the house.
Very nice. What about you, Sam? What about you? What one thing you could do that would bring peace in your house, for your dog, your cat, or your mouse?
I don't have a pet.
You don't have a pet. Well, maybe not asking for one would bring peace. I don't know. What else could you do? What else could you do? Thinking. I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, all right? So if you don't think of it now, we'll come back to it, all right? Peace. Something that makes everything happy and calm. All right. Let me share a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for children. Thank you for life. Thank you for peace. Your presence in our lives to make a difference. We ask that we continue to find ways that we can help each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Well, we've got some notices now, and as part of our notices, Leon has said that if you're dying to store some extra filing stuff, he's got the answer for your problem, which is a couple of filing cupboards, so see him afterwards. Next week, Ranella Markets. Don't forget that. So people have been busy making Christmas stuff for Ranella Markets. And any other notices I've missed? Mark Dickens, as you know, has been, we've been tag teaming this year. Mark is the full-time chaplain at Prince Alfred College, and this year he's been doing disaster relief chaplaincy on KI, which is, I'll give you that one, I've got my own. And so it's been really, while Mark's over there, I've been backfilling, as you know. So actually my time at PAC is concluded, but you've still got a bit more time on the island, haven't you, brother?
You're hoping it's concluded. Oh, I'm hoping it's concluded. But yes, thanks for the welcome here, and it's good to be here sharing with you again today. One more trip. I head over there next Sunday, the 12th, and finish up and return on the 23rd of December. And that will be my last trip as part of the arrangement that we've had this year. So looking forward to that. School finished, last day for the boys was on Friday at PAC, so all being well, bar any crisis situation that might emerge, David's job is done.
It's been a great experience, I must admit. It's been really good working with you and PAC. And so what has it been like on KI?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I was trying to work out in my mind, and I haven't been successful because my mind's just scrambled eggs at the moment with so much that's been going on. When I was here last and sharing in your service, that was about May, was it? June?
It might have been a bit earlier.
Anyway, look, I just to reflect on the whole year, I think it got to about May and I was really questioning that the value of what I might have been adding to the island in terms of what other services were there on the island. And that I'll come to it a little bit later. But there was a particular encounter that I had with a couple that for me was quite transformational in my thinking about, there is a purpose to me being here. It's one of those things that I think is a bit hard to measure, and ministry can be a bit like that. I describe my role, particularly at PAC, and even in a sense, part of what I was doing on Kangaroo Island as being a seed planter. And you don't always get to see the results of those seeds that might be planted in and through the ministry that we do in those sort of contexts. And to be able to see those moments throughout the second half of the year where my presence and my involvement has actually been significant in terms of providing a sense of peace.
Yep.
And stability, and someone to be able to offload with and talk to. So there's certainly been some rewarding encounters that I've had.
So what's been some of the challenges?
Look, I think, and we can probably both relate to this in different ways, that challenge of trying to do two jobs half-time, and as we both know, we both still have our Army Reserve chaplaincies as well. So really, when you think about it, both David and I have been engaged in three jobs. We've been spread across three different jobs. And yes, albeit you can say that I've been part-time at PAC, half-time PAC, half-time Kangaroo Island, it doesn't fit neatly like that. And so certainly one of the challenges has been being spread and at least having my thoughts in multiple locations. As much as I enjoy travel, I think some of the travel as we've got into the second half of the year has become that little bit wearying. And again, that challenge earlier in the year of trying to find, I guess, a place on Kangaroo Island where I actually felt that I was there with a purpose and adding value to what was already being done and continuing to be done on the island.
And I guess like all things, we tend to learn stuff about ourselves. And I guess you're talking about scrambled eggs. and so sometimes it might take a bit to unpack. But has there been one thing that really has stood out to you as like, yeah, well, this is, yeah, that's significant.
Yeah, so I'll go back to the situation. And that's why I was trying to work out earlier on when I was here and whether I shared this story last time or not. If I did, forgive me. You might have forgotten it, just like I've forgotten whether I've told you or not. But I had, there were a couple on the western end of the island between Pandana and Western Districts that they lost some of their property. Their own house didn't burn down, but they had tourist accommodation that burnt down and Johnny's work shed burnt down. He's a wood turner. And they, on the first Friday night of the month since about March this year, were having a pizza night. And I had not been able to get to one of their pizza nights for one reason or another. Either I was leaving the island that particular day, or I wasn't on the island. Anyway, in June, their pizza night was coming up, and I thought, I'm going to get there. And as it was, I happened to be the only one who turned up that particular night. So it was Johnny and his partner and myself. And I think I got there at about 6 o'clock. And at about 9:30, it came out in our conversation. So you might recall, just to jump back a little bit, you might recall that there were two deaths on the island, father and a son, during the fires. It turned out that Johnny vacated his property to head to the Western District's Oval about the same time as Dick and Clayton Lang were making their way to the same place, the Western District's Oval. And Johnny was actually driving behind them, and he saw them pull over. And he knew that if he stopped, he likely wouldn't survive, and so he kept on going. And as I listened to this story, I reflect, and he talked about making a phone call to his partner who was working in the Kingscote Hospital, and I asked her what was her reaction to all of this. And as you can imagine, she was just completely overwhelmed, afraid, helpless, couldn't do anything. And as Johnny was making this phone call, he lost reception. And so, of course, his wife's, his partner's got no idea what's just happened. Has Johnny just been overcome by the fire or not? As it was, the next morning, he was able to ring and say, I'm okay. Just that night that I had with them, for me, was one of those rare opportunities. And I suspect, I didn't actually ask the question, but I suspect that was the first time Johnny had told that story. And for me, that was that moment of, that's why I'm here doing what I'm doing. That's probably one of the highlights. So meeting some of the other people on the island and having made some good close connections with some people. Some of our PAC families. We've got one family, the boys just finished year 12. They were fire affected. So again, being able to connect with them. We've got some PAC old scholars on the island as well. And so again, having that double hatting in terms of being able to make connections with them has been significant as well. So for me, really one of the highlights has been those relationships that have been built.
Yeah, lovely. And certainly lots of different areas. Prince Alfred College have been very supportive in what you've done. And so let's just pause for a moment and say a prayer for Kangaroo Island and the other areas that have been affected as well. And as Mark concludes, Lord God, as we recognise it's been a really long couple of years since the fires, we ask that the communities, as they continue to rebuild and discover peace, will benefit from those who come and listen and move amongst them with love and care and bringing hope and life. And we thank you for Mark's ministry there, and we thank you and ask a blessing upon all those others who are involved, not only in KI but other areas in South Australia and Australia, as they continue to try and care and support those people as they rebuild their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just, can I grab a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Because I want to take this opportunity to acknowledge before you the work that David's certainly been doing at Prince Alfred College. We had a end-of-year chapel service, Christmas service for our secondary school, at which we do at Wesley Kentown Uniting Church on Wednesday during the week. And as part of that service, the headmaster, Bradley Fenner, acknowledged the work that David's been doing at PAC. And I suppose at one level, it just shows that we're in this together, doesn't it? And ministry is something that we are in together. your willingness, your sense of agreement to the arrangement that's been in place this year has certainly been deeply valued and recognised and appreciated in allowing David to take on that role of, for want of a better word, backfilling me when I haven't been at PAC. It's ensured that the continuation of chaplaincy at the college, which in and of itself is a significant ministry space. And so we, on behalf of the college, do want to thank you and certainly acknowledge the work that David has done. And as I said, the headmaster said some words of gratitude towards David. So can I just say a word of prayer, please? Gracious God, we give thanks for the gift of life, for the life that is ours, and all that gives our life purpose and meaning. And at this moment, I just want to give thanks for David, for his life and for his gifts. Gifts that he has been able to share amongst staff and students and families at Prince Alfred College throughout this year. That's enabled me to be released to do the ministry that I've been doing on Kangaroo Island. We give thanks for David's enthusiasm and for his willingness to spread himself thin as well as we seek to serve you, as we seek to respond to the calls that are upon our life to exercise ministry in the places and spaces of life and people that make up our community. So we give thanks in your gracious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Blessings on you.
Again, yeah, look, thanks, Vines. It's really been a great year, and together we have got through to the end of the year, so well done. Bible reading is going to come up, and then I'll share some words before we go into communion. So we'll have communion after the sermon today.
Morning, church. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and ruler, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. You wouldn't believe how many times I've read this out to myself. I do beg my pardon. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well done. I almost, having read that passage, I thought, should I remove the first two verses? I thought, there's the word of God. Let me share a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life, and we continue to want to be and make a difference, to be people of peace, whatever that looks like. So we ask that you'd bless this time together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, how many days before Christmas? Who can tell me? 20, 21, yeah, around about that, I'll accept that. Look, so Christmas is coming. It's insane, isn't it? I have thought, you know, sometimes at the beginning of the year, when you get to the halfway point, you think Christmas is never going to come. It just seems so slow, long year so long, la, la, la. But Christmas is coming with its lights and its festivities and its colors and its presents and its stress. What am I going to buy everybody? If you don't tell me, I'm going to buy you a voucher. Do you sort of have those conversations in your family? Or do you just, lucky dip, what is it? Father Christmas, Christmas lights, carols, trees, etc. I thought I'd give you a couple of stats, some random stats. There's more sick leave taken in the last 2 weeks leading up to Christmas than any other time of the year. Men will start shopping in the last week, which means that more men take sick leave at Christmas time to do their shopping. That's obviously what it means, surely. Anyway, what do you notice most about Christmas? What is the thing that most stands out for you? Could be lots of things, isn't it? Like everything looks different, doesn't it? We have the pageant, even though it's been doing a bit of a loop around the Adelaide Oval. Pageant often means you put your tree up. And I think when I look at all the different symbols about Christmas, one of the things I like is Christmas trees. And I've got some slides for different Christmas trees. Like we've got the real Christmas trees. Next slide, we've got a variation of what you can actually do with Christmas trees. Then you get some designer Christmas trees, and no, that's not upside down like as in the photo, but that's someone's being smart and stuck the whole tree upside down, including Christmas presents on the roof. I mean, after all, it's designer Christmas tree, of course. That's what you do. Probably one of the most significant Christmas trees is this next one. Now, that looks like a pretty ratty Christmas tree. But when you thought that the Danish government flew that all the way across from Denmark to Afghanistan so their soldiers could have a Christmas tree, a real one, then you begin to think, well, that's probably the most travelled Christmas tree in the world. And I don't think they had any lights on it because that would have been just bad juju. please bomb here. But they had the star, they had the globe, and so all the camp would just wander around this tree at different times because the tree was a symbol of what Christmas often is, light and hope. And maybe one day I'll do a where did Christmas trees come from, but for me it's just one of those beautiful images. And I shared with the girls and fellas on Thursday a couple of weeks ago a poem I wrote when I was overseas that I guess tried to summarize what I was missing being in a really austere environment, and put the words on the overhead as well. So I'll read it out and you can read it as well. Shops crammed with bustle and excitement, trees covered with lights shining and sparkling, bursting with light and joy, shining the truth that Christmas has arrived. But electrically charged globes suspended in green, dim in comparison to the bright and glorious word that pierced the darkness of the world and hailed the day when Christmas came to earth. When the word became flesh and shone in the darkness, prepare ye the way for the king, not of this world. Forget the crowns of red carpets and flowing gowns. The king requires none of these. Hardened hearts we tried to hide, embarrassed looks and cautious glares at such a gift. Poor, cluttered hearts starving from the emptiness, making our fullness possible to exist. Hear then the words of the Baptist. Prepare the road for the Lord. Make space in your hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Into the midst of our full and bulging lives, Jesus stands and knocks. Light of the world, to bring the good news of abundant life so we can wear lights in our hearts instead of on our trees. Lights in our hearts instead of on our trees. There's a lot of imagery I really like in there. Maybe just turn to the person next to you. Got 20 seconds. What is one line or image that sparked off for you? Go ahead. You got 20 seconds starting now.
Interesting. I actually used that as a devotion. That was.
So the poem talks about lots of different images, doesn't it? about the vibrancy and the dynamic dazzle of Christmas. And we compare that with the baby in the manger, word in flesh. And I like the idea of our full and bulging lives. In the last 3 days, I've been out about 5 different meals, and so I'm beginning to bulge a bit myself. But I think there's that sense in which, in the West, we live bulging lives because we've got so much. And sometimes in our so muchness, it's very hard to fit in the message of God and hope and life and let that shine. So today, really talking about making space in our hearts. It's not a new message. Like in the old days, prophets, like John the Baptist, and even before John the Baptist in the Old Testament, prophets were walking advertisements for God. So, you know, they didn't have visual signs or neon signs. God didn't have a phone to ring or text or Facebook everybody. So the prophet was the one who wandered around getting everybody's attention to what God was up to. One of the prophets, named Isaiah, walked around naked for 3 years to be a sign of what was going to happen to the people if they didn't repent and understand their relationship with God. They were going to be captives. Thankfully, John the Baptist, he wore camel's hair and some really other really different things to try and stand out, to help people see something differently. Today we have Facebook. And I guess it's very easy to sort of look at Facebook and think everybody's lives are going so well. But we know that cameras take about 40 photos and people will scroll through and pick the best one. So you never get the real look. We should just one day just do what's our worst photo and stick it on Facebook. And so we can all look at each other and go, yeah, I felt like that. I've been there. Yes, that's me. Because it's just raw and just how it should be. But there's so much cosmetic stuff. You can take a photo now and actually Photoshop yourself. Make yourself look years younger. Yeah. John the Baptist came along and said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight. Next slide. Make straight the paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is not a new thing we're trying to remember today. Today, in the midst of our lives, so many people miss what is happening at Christmas. The lights, the dazzle, the presents, the disappointment, the frustration. The Old Testament, constantly the prophets were talking about God wanting to do something in our lives. To give us a fresh heart, a fresh way of seeing things. The next slide picks up this saying from Ezekiel. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to change us from the inside. That's what we remember. But how can we make space in our hearts? It's a good question. I'm going to try and do that for the kids' talk today, and I thought, I've got no way of actually unpacking that because that's just so left brain or right brain, is it? How do you make space in your heart? I mean, a heart pumps blood around. Heart, but as we know, is also about love. So Valentine's Day, we talk about how much I love you with all my heart. So there's a sense in which even in the ancient days, they knew the heart was where the love and the center of our being was, and God wants to get in there. But how do we make space in our hearts? One of my favorite photos is this next one. Well, that's a good one, just leave it there. It's a problem when you don't look at your notes. So part of the way we do that is we let go and we let God. And that's an old saying, isn't it? Let go and let God. It's actually not scriptural. However, the inference is, like, there's so much scripture that just picks up this letting go as we trust in God, as we surrender, as we, you know, bring ourselves to the foot of the cross, as we, all this, so there's the imagery and power of that letting go and letting God. As we walk by faith and not by sight, you know, all things work together for good. So part of what God does is invites us to experience and put our trust in Him. But how do we let go of stuff when our lives feel like this next slide? Now, I'm not sure if you can see, there's a guy right up the top. He's got his fingers up there. Peace! I've made it up the top. I'll probably most likely survive. But it's how that vehicle moves at all, I don't know. But it's just overwhelmed. A great advertisement for lorries. Must be a Leyland, I think. But look at it. And for many of us, our lives feel like that sometimes. We carry so much stuff around with us. It's like we're this lorry trying to drive through sand. What we need to do is just let stuff go. Let stuff go. Because being overburdened just drains us, weighs us down. It's probably 4 kilometers of rope just on that truck. Again, it's a metaphor. So what I'm trying to do is throw some pictures at you to try and get you thinking about what your life is like. What things you need to let go of so you can make room in your heart for God to fill it with peace and hope and love. And sometimes we get stuck with old stories 30, 40, 50 years ago where we just recycle the same old pain, the same old shame, and it just becomes like this overloaded lorry. Part of the invitation we have every day, but at Christmas reminds us, is to let go, to let God, so our hearts can be filled with the things that give us life. What I thought I'd do today is get you to do a little exercise. So stretch your fingers. The next slide is a prayer, a couple of slides down. Next one. Now, what I want you to do is actually grip your hands together like a fist. Hold them together in fists. You're not going to do anything violent, so that's okay. You can hold yourself in a fist if you can. If your fingers let you. Now, I want you to hold them tightly. And then what I want you to do is say together with me this prayer. At times we hold on to things vice-like. We are tense, our veins ripple with the strain. Our blood pressure increases. We feel a tension throughout our whole body. Come, Spirit. Come, presence of God. Come and wash us with your love. Help us make room in our heart for the life-giving love you have for each of us. Let your hands go. What does that feel like? So in the same way, we're wanting to let go and let God fill us. Thank you, Ben. The band are going to come and lead us in our song that prepares us for worship. And then during our time of communion, you'll have another opportunity to think about what it is you can let go of today.
Now bread of life, come.
A couple of the songs we've sung today are really old, and yet their meaning is really significant. And so as we prepare ourselves for communion, we remember that Paul, who never actually met Jesus in the flesh or never really spent time as the original disciples did, conveyed to us what he had heard. He said this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that on the night that Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And during the night, he stopped and broke the bread and said, 'This is my body broken for you. Eat and remember this.' And then he went on and said, in the same way after the cup of supper, saying, 'This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And the whole reason Jesus used those tangible metaphors was that every time we gather together, Christ is present with us. Through these simple symbols, somehow in the mystery, as this song picked out for us, God's presence, love, and peace is there for us to experience. I'm going to get you to share with me the response that we normally share. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Here and now God waits to our experiences, to change our minds, change our lives, to change our ways, to make us see the world and the whole of life in a new way, to open our eyes to new things your love is doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. When we had no name and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide and welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, and made whole. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. One of the things that we're going to do today is also share some prayers for others. And I'm going to invite you to pray. We'll pray for the world, pray for others and ourselves. So there'll be opportunity and space for our prayers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life and love. We thank you for the world in which we live. Lord, we think of the world in which it's so large, and yet we find out things are happening almost immediately. We think of the constant changes that are happening because of COVID and the new variants and everything else that just seems to continue to turn things upside down. We pray for the world in which we live, for those countries that are struggling most. In this time of quiet, I invite you to offer your prayers to God for the world. Lord, there might be many of us whose families are interstate that will struggle to see, or we're uncertain about what might happen. And so we pray for those families that are again disconnected at this Christmas time. Again, I invite you to offer your prayers to God in this time. Lord, finally, we think of ourselves. We've had lots of different images we've talked or listened to today. Lord, we offer our lives to you, and we ask that we may continue to be able to let go of those things that we're carrying around with us that we don't need to. Help us let go so that our hearts might be filled more with your love and peace this Christmas. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's share together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, we offer this time to you. We ask that your Spirit may fill these simple elements, and as we share them, you may fill our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, communion. We're going back to plan A. We've had about 45 different plans for communion. So plan A is this. We're going to get a couple of stewards who will come up with a glove, and as they will actually walk past you and you hold your hands out, they will drop a piece of bread in. When it comes to the grape juice, you can actually pick the grape juice out of the tray rather than being dropped into your hands, just in case you were wondering. So I'm just going to invite you to stretch, maybe if you want to hold your hands again and let them go just to remind yourself, or whatever it is. I'm going to ask those stewards who are helping to come forward today as we share in this special time. And hold on to it and we'll eat it together. It's an open table, so if you've never been here before, you're welcome. Let us eat and remember the body of Christ broken for us. Again, we'll wait and share it together. Let us drink and remember the love of Christ shed through his blood. Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us afresh with your love, strength, power, hope, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to share with me this next simple saying. We've said this the last couple of times. The cross. The bread. The pain. The joy. The gospel. The love. The light. The darkness. Amen. We conclude our last song today, Angels from the Realm of Glory. A beautiful old hymn.
I invite you all to stand as we sing.
Christ the new.
Lives, Jesus stands and knocks, light of the world, to bring the good news of abundant life, so we can wear lights in our hearts instead of on our trees. Lights in our hearts instead of on our trees. Go from this place and shine. Amen.